Veronica, thanks. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. You can call in at 312-981-7200 or text us at the same number. Sometimes we will throw the word genius around. Even when it's not accurate, we will call somebody a genius.
Only when I'm at the Apple store.
Then you can use the word genius. Greg Smith is a verified, certified, 100% true genius, a boy genius. He sailed through most of his elementary school in just a single year. When he was 7, he was in high school. When he was 10, he was enrolled in college and studying advanced level physics, French, and calculus. But how is he doing today at the age of 26?
Oh, comment allez-vous?
Let's all look at you, showing off. Greg, how are you?
Bonjour, Greg.
Very good. How are you?
Fine. Let's start at the very beginning. When did you realize, or people around you realize, that you had genius tendencies?
Well, I don't know about that. When I was very young, my parents really throughout my whole life like instilled in me desire to learn and really encouraged anything that I was interested in academically. I personally didn't notice anything particular. I think my parents noticed when I was pretty young. There were some differences between how I was growing up and how other kids my own age were developing. I probably noticed when I was starting in elementary school and I was doing different things than most kids.
What were you doing different from the other kids? Like, while they were eating paste, what were you doing?
Well, I don't know. Sometimes I may have eaten some paste too. But
you knew the chemical compound of the
right.
paste.
Right. No. I loved Jules Verne as a kid, so I was reading books like Journey to the Center of the Earth and Around the World in 80 Days when I was very young. And things along those lines. Had a love of math from a very, very young age and science. And, you know, I was building molecules with my dad as a kid. My dad studied microbiology, so was always excited about anything science.
So this isn't just, this is obviously a gene that comes from at least your dad and probably both your parents. They're both pretty smart people too, huh?
Yeah, my parents are they're both very smart. My mom was a dance teacher for most of, before I was born and through a lot of my childhood. So I'm very creative and very intelligent. My dad was in the sciences and both very intelligent. I mean, I don't know anything else about genetics-wise, how that would necessarily be. But at the very least, they gave me, it was always an environment that was very much supporting learning and encouraging learning. And they tried so hard whenever I was interested in something. They would find books on the subject. They would take me to museums. They would really try to support and promote and encourage that kind of the desire to learn.
You know, that is what you do as a parent. You try to do fun things with your kid, but also help to escalate their learning process. My oldest son, Michael, loved King Tut. He was obsessed with King Tut,
yeah.
So we took him to the Field Museum to see the Tutankhamun thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what parents do. I mean, because
right.
that just makes learning fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, anything that turns something that would be this boring, dull affair, like reading textbooks into something that's interactive and gets kids excited about it. It was wonderful for me. I thoroughly, it made like learning new things and discovering new things always exciting and always just a fun thing to do each day.
But then how did they keep up with you, Greg? If you were learning that rapidly, were you ever bored in school, like especially early on, kindergarten, first grade, when they didn't realize we got to keep promoting Greg just to keep him in pace? Were you bored a little bit?
Yes. I mean, I enjoyed going to school. I had lots of friends in school. It was a fun environment for me, regardless of academics. A lot of the time, academically, I was bored as a child. And it was tough to find a school that would really promote and encourage me to keep learning. The public schools I was in initially were very much against the idea of like, really pushing me into different fields or like letting me skip grades or something along those lines. And so we ended up moving to Florida, actually, to find a school that would really be open to the idea of me just giving me the opportunity to learn what I was interested in learning. And
do you know what kid would have given anything possible to be at a school like that?
Yeah.
I mean, just whatever you're into, we'll keep it moving along. But whatever you want, you can. What a great school that was.
Well, it was, I mean, they still had their curriculum, different things. I think it was, they did encourage different interests of mine, but also it was just at the bare minimum, if I was not to hold me to whatever was required of that year's classes. Like if I completed the coursework for a particular year, particular class, they'd let me go into the next class.
Wow.
And that's how I ended up being able to go through all those grades.
But then, Greg, if you're 10 in college, where most people are 19 and 20 and 21, how are you fitting in socially? Was
that
working against
you? Yeah, how do you get a
roommate? Yeah, that'd be rough.
I was lucky. It depends on your definition or interbelief and luck. I lived at home through undergrad.
You did.
Which helped.
Bill, what parent is going to let a 10-year-old go live in the dorms?
Yeah, I guess so.
It would be a little strange. Be a little strange.
Right.
But despite that, I mean, I was mostly around college during classes and afterward working on things with my classmates. But I still had a lot of friends there. I think once people realized I was just a normal person, it was perfectly wonderful.
Right.
Did people tease you? Because I know that's really ridiculous when you hear it, but when someone's different, that's how they get teased. And a lot of times kids hide their smartness because they don't think it's cool to be smart.
Sure. For me, not so much. I was pretty lucky that I had a really good group of people around me. And, I mean, there'd be maybe occasional things, but honestly, nothing that stands out. Really, people were very supportive, and I mean, it was generally a lot of fun.
We're talking with Greg Smith. I hate to say former boy genius because you still you sound very smart to me today, so I don't want to throw the former on there. Were colleges recruiting you very early on, Greg? They must have been.
I think a lot of people were skeptical. There were some colleges that definitely showed interest. I was very lucky that there's a school, Randolph Macon College in Virginia, that I ended up going to, that was very much excited about me going there and the possibilities of it. But, I mean, there was some interest from other schools. I think a lot of people were skeptical of the concept of this random kid from Florida who was skipping grades, and I don't know if they necessarily bought it.
Yeah.
I was lucky there was interest, and that there were schools out there, and especially Randolph Macon, where I ended up going to, that was excited about the prospect of me, of keeping me going.
All right. We have certain milestones, like a kid's supposed to roll over at 6 months, walk at a year. How old were you when you started reading? Like a year and a half?
About a year and a half, yes.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was being facetious.
That's impressive.
Was
your mom holding books up to the womb, just going, just do a couple pages, just get a couple pages in?
I vaguely have this distant memory of seeing a book. No, I don't know.
You know, a lot of kids think they're smarter than their teachers, but in a lot of cases, you were probably smarter than some of your teachers, right? How did you handle that?
Well, I mean, I was lucky. I had really great teachers. And honestly, especially by the time I got to high school, the teachers I had were really phenomenal. And they were very encouraging. And again, because the high school isn't entirely sure about, you know, this little kid that was going to classes there, a lot of teachers, to give me a chance to go to class, to take classes, would give up their planning period. So I would sit one-on-one with them and go through material. And I was just so fortunate that so many people along the way took an interest in me and in my development and really encouraged me to keep going. I've had really fantastic teachers.
Greg, I know I've seen too many movies, but in a movie like this where there's a kid who's a genius, there's always some secret government agency that sends a recruiter to kind of win him over to work on a secret plot of some sort. Did that ever happen? Right. Did any secret government agencies try to recruit you?
Well, I don't know if I'd technically be allowed to say. No. I mean, there was interest in nothing like that. No.
Nothing good. I was hoping that'd be the answer. Good.
All right. You never know. It could have been good.
So you're 26. Go ahead, Greg.
A lot of the work I ended up doing sort of outside of classes ended up being on the more humanitarian level, working with different aid groups and projects. And I was in that field of area, I was very lucky that I ended up meeting incredible people from around the world, like Nobel Peace Prize laureates and famous politicians that were in that frame of reference. I was able to meet amazing people and work on amazing projects.
And you've been nominated yourself for that Nobel Prize 5 different times, correct?
Yes.
That's impressive. That's very impressive.
It's an honor. I mean, I took it as people really caring. I mean, the big thing that I wanted to work on as a child was promoting children's rights, and that there's so many children in the world that aren't getting the basic necessities of life, whether it's enough food, water, security, and safety, to education and how important education is, and on from there, and really promoting how important it is that we really focus on the next generation, and both at home and countries abroad where really children are suffering. And I really saw it as an opportunity that the Nobel Nominate Committee was really recognizing how important that was, and that I was really grateful for.
Wow.
Well, you're campaigning for children's rights and safety. What causes? Is there anything you'd like to bring up to us or a website we can go to?
Not a particular website right now. We're really at a pivotal moment in our world, so to speak, where there's so much violence that's taking place and places that until recently we wouldn't really necessarily expect so much violence with all the terrorist attacks that have happened in Europe. And it's alarming to see how people out there are trying to divide our world and bring back sort of prejudice that many people around the world have tried so hard to address and resolve in the last few decades. Really, as the world has become a more global network of people and we've all interacted with each other more, and we've really been able to push away, not all of it, but push away some of these prejudices of different communities. And it's really a problem when we see so many people now trying to bring back those divides.
I know, it's like we're sliding backwards.
Yeah, and that's really scary to me, and it's something that I think we really have to resist and realize that really the whole world over we're all the same people, and we're all dealing with this kind of hate speech and hate rhetoric that's trying to keep us divided. It's important for us to avoid that. And as far as different organizations, there are so many amazing humanitarian organizations out there doing wonderful work. I was very lucky that I got to work with Christian Children's Fund. They're now called Child Fund International a lot as a child. And they do amazing work both here in the U.S. and overseas, whether it's really in 100 different countries. A lot of work with Syrian refugees, which is so important right now.
And
what a great message.
Yes, I'm sorry. We have a crazy phone line where we keep talking over each other. What are you doing now with yourself, Greg, at 26?
I just got my PhD in biology last year.
What took you so long?
Sometimes I felt the same way.
Congrats.
I've been in college for a very long time, and studying a lot of different fields, but I finally got my PhD last year, and now I'm working as a postdoc at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so what I'm really working on now is trying to, I'm a computational biologist is sort of my area of training. So what that is like we're building computer models, writing code that analyzes biological data and makes predictions about all sorts of different things. What I'm working on currently is trying to understand how genes interact and building networks of, like, finding novel interactions between different genes. Our lab's really interesting glioblastoma, a type of brain cancer, and so really trying to understand what are the driving forces of this.
Boy, a job well done from such a young man, and we have a question from one of the listeners. They want to know what level Pokemon Go you're on.
I can't say that I have.
No,
played.
It was kind of a joke.
I'm so proud of you for not.
I know people that are obsessed with it, but I can't say that I have.
Greg, is there one non-geniusy thing that you do, though? You're obviously a genius, but is there one thing that is so not genius that you do?
Well, I would argue that there are really smart people that are interested in this, but I mean, I do watch NASCAR a lot.
You do.
And that's generally the exact opposite in most people's mind from academics.
How about Gordon doing it for Dale Jr.?
You know, Dale Jr. is my favorite NASCAR driver. I was a Dale Sr. fan back from when I was born, basically.
Yeah.
I used to watch NASCAR, and so I've always been an Earnhardt fan. I really appreciate, I mean, it's concussions are scary.
Yeah.
And I hope Dale Jr. comes back soon.
Yeah.
It's always fun to watch him race. At least, hopefully, in time for Talladega.
Absolutely. God, see, now this is something we have in common. Finally.
Greg, you go into a dinner party, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. is at one table and Stephen Hawking's at another. Which table do you sit at?
Oh, that, now you're just being cruel.
ask him to join you at your table, don't
yes.
you?
I like that. I like that.
Well, we're so thrilled to finally talk to you. And boy, what a life you've already led, and you're just 26 years old. I can't wait to see what you have in the future. But keep up the great work. It's really inspiring to see what you've done. It really is.
Thank you.
Nice to meet
you.
Thanks
for having me on.
Absolutely, Greg. That's Greg Smith. Very, very smart man.
I love the NASCAR because the look on your face was priceless.
I did not see that coming. I did not see it coming. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.